Excellent. So I think we can get started. So thanks for joining us for this System Center 2012 Orchestrator Crash Course. My name is Pete Zerger. I'm an MVP in Cloud and Data Center Management. Spend a fair bit of time with Orchestrator, as does my colleague.
My name is Anders Bengtsson. I'm a senior PFE at Microsoft. Work with System Center, Private Cloud, and last couple of years I've been supporting our customers around first Opalis and then Orchestrator.
Great, and Anders and I have been friends for quite a long time, six years you've tolerated me now, I think.
Yeah.
And we wrote a book recently together, so the Orchestrator Unleashed book coming out this summer. We certainly don't make any more money if you do buy the book, but we hope you buy the book and find it useful.
Yeah, it's nice if you like it.
So, today, we really want to show you the value of Orchestrator in your environment. We do want to set some expectations at the beginning of this session. We are delivering a level 200 session, so we expect that many of you in the audience are relatively new to Orchestrator. And we'd like to understand that. So just by a show of hands, how many of you are relatively new to Orchestrator? Excellent. That's the right answer. Even if you're not telling the truth, that's the right answer. That's great. And if we have any Orchestrator experts among us, certainly...
Jedis.
So there may be a few of you, and that's okay. I think we'll be talking about some of those areas before and after we build runbooks, how we build them better, and I think you might certainly find a tip or two in the next hour, and at the very least perhaps we'll entertain you, and we will call that successful. So our agenda for today, we'll be talking about Orchestrator architecture. Yeah? Did I miss anything back here?
I think you missed a couple of examples.
Yeah, okay. So let's cover that off. Let's just talk about what I should be orchestrating exactly. So do we have any common scenarios, if you will, that we might be orchestrating?
Yeah, so from time to time you talk to customers. Well, I do that quite often. But from time to time I talk about where should we use Orchestrator, what should we use Orchestrator for. And when you first look at Orchestrator, you can have like, oh, we can replace BizTalk with this one, and you shouldn't do that. Or maybe we can do everything that we do in Forefront with this one. Oh, you shouldn't do that. Or maybe we should do this or this and that. And we have some customers trying to do deployment, replace Configuration Manager with Orchestrator. That's not a very good idea. So if you think about scenarios where you are like, what do we call it, like a data bus, where you receive an email saying like, hi, dear colleague, I need some more RAM in my VM. Can you fix it? So you read the email, you open another console, you input some data there, add some more RAM, maybe you update some server documentation somewhere, and then you send the email back. So now I have added your more RAM for you. Or maybe you receive an email saying, could you enable this user account or create a new user account, a new service account or something? You move over to another console, you open it, you pass all the data that you just read in the email through your head down to the other console. Those are the kind of scenarios that you should use with Orchestrator. Everywhere where you are like a small hamster running in a wheel every day, yeah, those are the scenarios where you should use Orchestrator.
Yeah, Anders makes a very good point. Our focus is really to automate human processes, the processes that you carry out today. If you're provisioning mailboxes, Active Directory accounts, virtual machines, you're remediating incidents, doesn't matter really. Everybody will have their own common use cases, and there's no single right answer there. But I think another important point Anders makes here is when we ask, can I do that with Orchestrator? The answer is almost always yes. The question we really need to ask is, should I do all of that with Orchestrator? And hopefully we'll answer some of those questions as we go through our session in the next hour today.
Yeah, and another quite common scenario here to use Orchestrator. That's the scenario, I guess everyone recognizes this, even if you don't really want to say it out loud here today, that you have these dark scripts that someone wrote somewhere in your environment doing something. You don't really know what they're doing. You don't want to touch them. You don't dare to update them. They're just there somewhere, some moonshine script someone wrote. So Orchestrator could be a quite good alternative to all those scripts also.
Yeah, PowerShell is a good thing, but we'll talk about how Orchestrator can make that automation process more widely supportable amongst your colleagues, even those who are not scripting experts, so to speak. So all of that talking, and now we begin. So our agenda today, we'll begin with a quick look at Orchestrator architecture. I think you'll find that Orchestrator, architecturally speaking, is quite simple and easy to implement. We'll also talk about planning. So definitely, before we begin developing our runbooks, there are some questions we must ask and answer to ensure that we are automating the right processes in our environment. You know, Orchestrator is a journey, and we want to make sure we're traveling in the right direction before we begin running down that path. We'll talk about best practices briefly. Certainly, that's an hour-long discussion in and of itself. And we also want to talk about Orchestrator under the covers a bit, so to speak. So we'll talk about runbook engine behavior, how Orchestrator runbooks behave behind the scenes. And then, of course, we'll spend quite a lot of time in demonstration showing you some common use case scenarios, sharing best practices, a bit of our bad examples, what not to do from the field, I should think. But you know, the bottom line is we can automate processes in any number of areas. You may want to automate the remediation of alerts in your monitoring system. You might want to provision virtual machines, configure systems. Doesn't matter, really. Everybody will have their common use cases. Your goal is really to identify those opportunities that are going to be good cases for automation and to bring those processes together with Orchestrator. So the idea is we'll automate across our IT support teams and across our different systems. Oh, you're surprising me with these hamsters. It's not nice. So let's talk about Orchestrator features briefly. So I like to think of Orchestrator as a Visio-like authoring experience. So imagine with me, if you will, the Visio document in your mind right now. Orchestrator has activities that I can drag onto my palette. And these activities will perform various tasks. They might make an SSH connection to a Unix system. They might run a PowerShell script, connect to a database, check the status, or restart a service. In fact, there are around 70 of what we call standard activities. These are product agnostic activities that will do all of those things I described. We can interact with the file system, send notification, a very wide variety. Now, Microsoft supplements those standard activities with what we call integration packs, so product-specific collections of activities. And Microsoft offers integration packs for your system center components like Operations Manager and Configuration Manager, and integration packs for your enterprise platforms like Active Directory and Exchange. And we can bring those activities together onto our palette. We can connect them in the order we would like them to run to create a runbook. So Anders, what about other activities here? So where else can I find activities that I can drag into this palette?
So we have quite a lot of integration packs in the community. That's what you were thinking about?
So I'm thinking about community packs, but are community integration packs supported? Is Microsoft going to support me if
I
use this?
That's a very good point there, Pete. So the community integration packs, they're on CodePlex. Many of them are written by Microsoft personnel, but they are still not supported. So think about that if you find a nice integration pack. Where are you?
So you have to think about that because some of these community integration packs are written by Anders. So test carefully, right?
Yeah, so the point is make sure that if you download one of these integration packs from CodePlex or whatever you find them, make sure you actually test them because there could be someone sitting in a basement somewhere, south part of Sweden maybe, writing these integration packs, and maybe they worked really perfect in that sandbox, in that small environment, but they're not going to work in your environment that is a little bit different. So just make sure you really test them before you put them into production.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say that Anders sits in his dark basement in his underwear writing integration packs, but just test before you use those, right?
So back to the data bus.
So back to that data bus that Anders mentioned. So with our runbooks, our runbooks, as each activity in our runbook executes, it publishes data automatically to a shared data area we call the data bus. And each subsequent activity in our runbook can use the data published by the previous activity. So activity B can consume data from activity A and C from A or B, and so on and so forth. So it allows us to build an automated process that behaves dynamically based on runtime conditions. And a runbook runs in the context of a single Windows process, a policy module.exe, and when that runbook completes, that process is terminated, it folds up, and all that shared data goes away. So enough talking. Open the console. Do you have some runbooks
to
show us?
Time to see some magic.
Okay.
So this console is the runbook designer console. That's the tool that we will use to build our runbooks. We haven't included, even if it's a crash course, we haven't included much about the installation. That's because that the installation is so simple. It takes like a couple of minutes. If you have worked with any other System Center component, you will really be surprised.
Yes, I'm a big fan of Orchestrator because it's so easy to use. I would say anybody in this room can be a good orchestrator in about a month of Friday afternoons. So give yourself a day or two, and I think you'll be quite surprised at how good you can become with Orchestrator very quickly.
Yeah, the database is 7 megabytes of the default installation. That's quite small to be System Center. So, the runbook designer. On the left side, we have the navigation pane where you can, let me get over here, where you can build your different folders and you can put all your runbooks into different folders and sort them really nice. You can put security settings on the folders, so some colleagues can see some runbooks and some other colleagues can see some other runbooks there, or update runbooks or work with runbooks. So you have all that here on the left side. And then here in the middle, we have the whiteboard where we will draw our runbooks, where we will drag and drop our activities and configure them, and we will soon do that. And then on the right side, we have all our activities. They are grouped into small categories. And as you can see, we have first the standard activities, for example, system. Then we have a number of activities, and activities that's like small tasks, as Pete said. So all the standard activities, they are not connected to one specific technology. Instead, you can use them against any technology. So for example, read file, that one you can use against any file. It doesn't have to be System Center file or SharePoint file or something. And then we have the more product-specific integration packs, like if we go into the one for, let's say, Operation Manager. We have activities that will, of course, only work with Operation Manager. And we have the same kind of activities for Configuration Manager and Data Protection Manager. And as you can see, there is different amount of activities in each integration pack. Sometimes you can download an integration pack from Microsoft that gives you like 10 activities. And then you can find another integration pack on the community that gives you 200 more activities for the same product. So sometimes you can add on community integration packs just as to get some more activities, so you don't have to, for example, write PowerShell scripts.
Yeah, that's a great point. As you add activities from the community, you'll find that they not only sometimes enable new scenarios, but they'll also enable support for legacy versions of technology. So if you need to support, for example, an older version of Active Directory Exchange, you'll find that there's quite some talented people in the community that have built integration packs to handle that legacy support that Microsoft might not have time to deliver for us. Now, Anders, I had one question for you here. You've shown us standard activities. You've shown us integration packs. Are there any rules against my using the two sets of two types of activities in a single runbook?
No, you can mix them any way you want. And that's really one of the big values in Orchestrator. So you can take activity from Operation Manager together with activity for VMware, together with activity for SharePoint, and just connect them together. You really don't have to care about in what format do we need to tell VMware to stop this machine, or in what format do we need to tell SharePoint to update this list item. We just drag and drop. And we will soon do that here in the demo. I just want to show you a little bit more of the console. In the top here, we have a couple of buttons that could be good to know about. We have run and stop, of course. Start the runbook, stop the runbook. Pete will later talk about how you should do that. You can, of course, do it in here, but you should have some other tool triggering the runbook instead. For example, Operation Manager might trigger a runbook when some alert happens. You can check in, check out runbooks. when you check it out, you write it to your local machine. No one else can edit the runbook at the same time. No one else can use the runbook at the same time. And then you check it in, you write it back to the database, and you can start using it again. Undo checkout. That's when you have this really great idea. So you check out the runbook, you do a lot of modifications, and then you realize, oh, this might not be my best idea. Then you can do undo checkout, and you go back to the version that was in the database before. But that's also the only undo feature we have in Orchestrator, and that's quite good to remember.
So there's no versioning, right?
No, we do.
Not exactly.
Not really.
Yeah, so we'll talk to you about versioning as we go along here briefly. So that undo checkout really has a dual purpose. It'll allow you to roll back changes in progress that maybe you're not quite happy with, but also on the negative side, if you forget to check your runbook back in and your colleagues need that runbook to run, then they can undo your checkout as well, and you'll lose maybe all of your work in progress. So good idea, maybe we have something more than just a production environment, right?
Yeah, that might be a good idea. Then we have the runbook tester, and the runbook tester will open another console that you can use to step through your runbook. I can show you. You need to check out the runbook to do that. Runbook tester.
Runbook tester is not really the best name for it, is it?
No, we need to say something about that too. So it's called runbook tester. It looks like this. You can step through your runbook. You can see all the details in runtime. So you can see the configuration. You can see all output from activity during runtime. It's quite nice. But there are a couple of challenges, I think is the correct word here. The first one is that it's running under the account that is running runbook tester. So normally, and Pete will get back to this, you have a service account running all the runbooks. Like you always have a service account. But if you start the runbook manually in Runbook Tester, it would run with your account. So from time to time, you might be troubleshooting something, a permission issue, that's not really an issue because it's just that you think that you're running with the service account, but you're running with your personal account. The second thing is that it's running on your local machine where you're running Runbook Tester. So most often, you have done some firewall port opening and done some network changes just to support your runbooks. Like from your orchestrator service, maybe you have opened some specific ports to some target systems, but those ports are not open from your workstation, so the runbook will fail. And the last one that I guess is the most important one is that it's not really a tester, it is executing.
Well, it tests, but it tests for real, right?
Yeah, that's another way to put it. Yeah, so it tests for real. So if you build a runbook here and you just want to, so let's see how this one works now, and you go in here, run, then it's actually execute and run in your environment.
You must have at least one good story about
that. Of course. So sometimes I have the opportunity to work with support cases, and we had a customer like a year ago now. They had built a really nice runbook. It's not a bad idea at all. That did AD cleanup. So if the account was not used for 6 months, they wanted to delete all the properties of the account, reset the password, disable the account, and move it down to another organization unit in Active Directory. It's a quite common scenario. Nothing wrong with that. It's just that they were a little bit unsure how to put the has been used for 6 months or has not been used for 6 months. You know that you need, yeah?
You see where this is going. The greater than and the less than. Okay, yeah. I haven't heard this story, so continue, please.
I think they've already figured it out, no? So they say like, oh, but let's put it this way and we just test it. If it's okay, we just keep it and we add on the rest of the runbook. So they start the runbook tester, test it. Oh, okay, that was the wrong way to put it, so we should put it the other way. But then everything started to shut down in the environment around them. Like, so they had just disabled all accounts that has been used for the last 6 months. That means like every account, like all service account, all admins account, like all accounts. So they called us and said they had an orchestrator issue. Like, where is the undo button? It's like, we don't have one. So tell me a little bit more what you have done. And
wow.
They're like, so actually, I think I should pass this to my AED friends because I think you have an AED issue, not really. More like a disaster recovery scenario here. So runbook tester, not really testing. So make sure that you really are aware of that.
Wow.
So let's build a runbook instead.
Please.
Yeah, please. So let's build a runbook that monitors operation manager for new alerts. And if there is a new alert, a specific alert, we will do some troubleshooting. That's a quite common scenario.
Yeah, so focus with us here, and we'll call out a couple of key points, and you'll know how to build your runbook here in the next 15 minutes. And then the 45 minutes that follows, you'll know how to build them good, right?
So you mean this first one is not really good?
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying this will be functional, it will not be good. So he's dragging some activities onto his workspace here.
So I drag a couple of activities to my workspace. Is there an echo in here?
There is an echo.
So
that's me, I'm parroting
and
it, sorry.
And I'm connecting them together.
So watch when Anders moves his mouse over that activity, you notice a little triangle comes up. We call that a link handle. And when he left clicks and holds to that link, he can then drag and drop to make the connection to the next activity.
Yeah. So in this scenario, when there is a specific alert, we know that we want to restart our service. We do that all the time manually when we get this alert. So I just want to...
You're squinting here. Shall I get your glasses?
Oh, here it is.
There you go.
So I just want to restart that service. So I drag and drop monitor alert, update alert, and stop start service. So I drag this activity in here, connect them with link that Pete described, double-click the activities, and then I get connection. So what operation manager environment do I want to use? And in this, or on my laptop, I have one operation manager management group, and up here in the option menu, we can configure these connections. So you see here we have operation manager, and I have configured operation manager, server name, and account to use, and so on. So as soon as I use operation manager activity, I now can pick from those connections. So pick this one.
But wait a second. So what if I have many operations manager environments?
Yeah, that's not the issue. You can have many connections here. You can even work with multiple management groups from the same runbook. So you can even use Orchestrate as a connector between operation manager environments if you like to. So I configure this one to trigger on new alerts, and I also say that if the description on the alert, you see now we have all the properties of an operation manager alert, and we can say if the description contains app serve.
So as Anders is building this runbook, imagine that you were automating the same process in PowerShell, a very succinct, very powerful object-oriented language, right? So Anders, in the span of 10 minutes now, he's you know, building a runbook. Now we're going to monitor for alerts. Now he's writing some criteria. So now my PowerShell is getting a little more involved, right? I'm doing a lot of filtering here.
Yeah.
Very, very quickly.
So I configure it to look for new alerts with app service 01 in the description. If we find that, we want to update that alert and change the... let's say we want to change the resolution state. So I select resolution state. I pick the connections I want to use. And then I need to have the alert ID. I have no clue about the alert ID because it's unique for each alert. But now comes the magic part here. I can right-click in any text field anywhere in Orchestrator, and I do subscribe publish data. And this is the data bus that we now access. And this is the second activity, so I can only pick data from the first activity. So I have the monitor alert here. I have everything that the monitor alert will publish to the data bus. And then I have ID. So I put ID in there. And I want to change the resolution state to Orchestrator. Or I can simply connect to my operation environment and get all the resolution states from Operation Manager. So I don't really have to input anything here. I can just pick from there.
Yeah, that's a great point. And any time you see those three dots, the ellipsis, that's your clue that activity will connect to something and give you help with your options for completing that field.
Yeah. And let's say something about the monitor activity.
Yeah, so that's a good point. You notice that this runbook starts with an activity called monitor alert. And when Anders runs his mouse over that activity, it only has one link handle. So there's no way to link to the front, which means what?
So this activity, all the monitor activities, you will see we have a lot of them, monitor files, folders, service manager, SharePoint, whatever. They will actually monitor the data source all the time. So in this case, it will ask operation manager, like every 10 seconds, I think, by default, for this new alert. So the monitor activity, if you have that in the first activity in a runbook, that runbook will always be running, monitoring the data source. And when it finds whatever filter you configure, I configured app server 01, it will trigger a new instance of the runbook that will run with the new alert.
And that's the important point to remember there, is a monitoring style runbook will run all the time.
Yeah. So we pick acknowledged. We want to update the resolution state to acknowledged so everyone knows that Orchestrator is working on it. And then we can configure this one for a service. And again, we can do right click. So which computer is it? We can do publish data. And now we have two activities to pick data from. We can go into monitor alert. And in here, we could pick the monitoring object path, for example. Or we can pick the NetBIOS computer name. And we can connect to that one. And we could even pick the service name from the alert. So we don't even have to specify, in this scenario, our service, what the service is, the name of the service. We can just say, whatever service stop, just trigger this runbook and try to restart it.
So as Anders is building this runbook, I saw at least one of you have questions. And I failed to mention that we want to hold all of our questions to the end of the session. We'll have plenty of time afterward. And in fact, Anders and I will be in the Ask the Experts area all day. So we'll have some time at the end of this session. But certainly, if you want to come whiteboard with us at length and talk about some of what you'd like to do in your environment, we're happy to discuss as much as you would like.
So before we go back into PowerPoint, I just want to show you also that we can do different branches within our runbook. So let's say that the service don't start for some reason. So we try to restart the service. It doesn't start for some reason. And we know that most likely it's because we need to stop a process, then we can restart the service. So on the link here, we can double click and say, if the start-stop service returns failed, meaning it doesn't work, it didn't work to start, let's go this way, and we can make that one red to make it a little bit easier to understand. We can also say...
So just like you put comments into your code, we can put different colors in here for what we call the success branches and the failure branches of our runbook. We can label these links. So it's kind of like the comments you would put in your code. We're kind of documenting our runbook so you can visually look at this runbook and understand what it's doing in a fairly short amount of time.
Yeah, and as you can see here, then we go another way and do some more troubleshooting and try to get that service to running again. And as you start to realize now, you could really put in whatever you want here. There are like activities for anything. So I have this scenario a little bit updated here. We do a little bit more troubleshooting in this scenario, where we actually go and see, is it during work hour right now? We do that, we have a check schedule activity. And then if it's during office hours, we do this advanced troubleshooting by deleting files and deleting processes and try to restart again. If it's during night, then we just simply reboot the server because we know that will fix it. So then we go this way and reboot the server. And if that doesn't work, we go this way and generate another alert in Operation Manager. So as you can see, the runbook can really go all different ways depending on the data it receives from the previous activities.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on in this runbook in terms of it's making decisions based on what it encounters at runtime, right?
And you really don't have to think about the output format. You just drag and drop. You pick whatever output, paste it in here. Whatever comes out of there, paste it over here, and just connect to your different tools, and you can have a little bit of Ops Manager in there, a little bit of Service Manager or whatever you want.
Absolutely. Yeah, so good start. Okay. So that is our first look at Orchestrator. Let's talk about Orchestrator architecture for just a moment. So Orchestrator is an agentless component of System Center. All of your configuration, all of the runbooks that you saw Anders was building in his console there, are all stored in the Orchestrator database. It is quite small, but it's also quite important. So back it up, right? Enough said. Our runbook server is what actually executes the runbook. That's when we hit the run button, it's the runbook server that is then executing our runbook that might be connecting to remote servers in our data center. You know, there are no agents, though, bear that in mind. And as we want to scale out to run more runbooks, we might add a second runbook server. And failover is automatic. It uses what we call a waterfall model. So if the first runbook server should fail, the second runbook server will take over automatically. There's no advanced configuration, no clustering. It's quite simple. But so give me your two cents here. Why else might I deploy a runbook server, extra runbook server?
So there might be different secure networks in your organization. So you can't find a place to place one runbook server that can access everything you want to orchestrate. So you might actually need a couple of runbook servers on each different network segment. For example, if you're a hoster, you might want to put one runbook server at each customer network. And if you have a lot of different secured networks in your organization, you might want to put one on each of them.
It's a good point. And also, when you're thinking about where you place those runbook servers, do bear in mind we want LAN connectivity between runbook server and database. So we don't put a runbook server on the other side of the Atlantic from our database, right?
No, that's absolutely true, because the runbook servers will query the orchestrator database every 2 seconds for new jobs and a lot of other things. So you really don't want any latency between them. We have a threshold what we support and what we don't support, but it's quite easy to control one orchestrator environment from another orchestrator environment through the web service. So as Pete's saying, do you need to have one orchestrator environment in
You mentioned the web service. You did it again. He's always half a step ahead of me in my life. I always, when I think I'm at the head of the game, it's always Anders ahead of me. So we'll get to the web service in just a minute. So you do have this management server, which is really just a Windows service. And it controls, it's what controls the conversation between the Runbook Designer console you saw Anders using and your Orchestrator database. So when you check runbooks in and out, it's your console is talking through this management service. You don't really have to worry about high availability here if that service goes away. Our runbooks are still going to execute, and we can replace this service very, very quickly. So we don't even think about this in terms of high availability. It's not, shall we say, a runtime component. Now, as Anders alluded to, or just outright said, didn't he, we can execute runbooks from outside Orchestrator. So there is an Orchestration web console. It's a Silverlight-based console where we can delegate permissions to administrators in our environments to run the runbooks. Now, it's different from the designer console, not in just that it's a web interface, but there is also no authoring experience there. It's really for operators, so to speak.
And what you could add there also...
What
you could add is that on this slide, we have a lot of servers, but you can install everything on one virtual machine if you want. So if you just want to take Orchestrator for a spin, just test it a little bit, you can deploy everything on one VM, and then you can scale out later.
Yeah, that's a great point. Very easy to deploy to one box and then scale out. And since that database is so small and so lightweight, very easy to place that database on a shared server. We don't need a dedicated SQL cluster to run this database. So the Orchestrator web service, an OData RESTful web service, we can use that to execute runbooks from anywhere. So out on MSDN, you'll find an example of how to execute a runbook from PowerShell and C#, which would allow us to initiate runbooks from other systems if you don't have entirely Microsoft and System Center in your environment. So there's easy interoperability there, so to speak. You have anything to say there before I continue? I see your...
We could say that the heavy lifting is on the blue server here.
That brings up the question. So how many runbooks can I initiate, can I execute on a single runbook server? This comes up all the time, and you're going to think about this right after you leave the room.
Yes. So we have some old legacy settings saying 50 running runbooks at the one runbook server at the same time, but you can just reconfigure that in the register. So I have some customers running like 200 runbooks at the same time on the same runbook server. But the way to think about this is that if you tell your Hyper-V environment to create 10 new servers, there would be no load on the runbook server. It's the Hyper-V servers working. So that's the blue servers here. And so it's very seldom that you actually put any load on the runbook servers. So as long as you don't do that, you can just add on more runbooks. And as I said, it's running runbooks. You can have 1,000 runbooks as long as maybe you just have a couple of them, 100 of them running at the same time. Or just add more runbook servers. But just remember that the heavy lifting is on the side that you integrate with. Orchestrator is just sending instructions like, now deploy a new machine, or create a new incident, or update that alert.
Yeah, that's a good point. So Orchestrator is often sending a lot of instructions. It's not necessarily doing all of that work itself. So when we think about actually using Orchestrator, the first thing we have to think about are the processes that we carry out as administrators in our environment. What are the processes that we're... Was that me or you? So what are the processes that we're carrying out in our environment? What steps do we perform, and what input do we need to put into those processes to make them carry out the steps we want? Then we have to think about the systems that we're interacting with. So Anders talked about you as the data bus. You get an email from someone asking you to carry out an activity, and then you input data into that system. As we try to replace that human activity with a machine in this case, we need to think about how you talk to those systems, how you make them talk to one another. You might have a lot of Microsoft stack in your data center, but you might have some other technologies as well. There might be Linux and Unix and network devices and third parties. So we need to think about how those talk together so we can orchestrate that process to deliver that automation. So let's just have a quick checkpoint here, so to speak. So we've covered off Orchestrator architecture. Quite simple to deploy. Single server is okay. We can scale out later. Scalability and high availability, somewhat automatic in many respects. We can add multiple runbook servers. It's automatic for us. The database can be made highly available by SQL, HA technologies that you're familiar with, clustering, HA, etc. Anders gave you a good look at the anatomy of a runbook. So activities, links, and the logic to bring those together, and how to subscribe to that published data from the shared data area to make your runbooks dynamic at runtime. So let's talk about planning. So there are some questions we need to ask ourselves before we build our first runbook. And I've seen some folks, and Anders can tell you more stories than I care to allow him to share today, about very talented orchestrators that have taken themselves in a very bad direction by trying to automate too much first, or using Orchestrator to automate things that weren't best handled through Orchestrator. So a good place to start is just to write down a list of all of the processes that you think you might like to automate. What do you have out there that's time consuming? Where are service levels suffering in your environment? Where are people waiting for resources? What problems do you see most frequently? If we have a website that's going down 4 times a day, that's frequent, right? We want to think about those areas where we're seeing something that's happening frequently. Here's a good one. What's most expensive for your company? What problems do we have that are costing us money, costing us reputation? What do we have out there that customers can see in terms of failures or slow processes that we could automate that would ease some burdens there? So we really want to choose our battles. Because at the end of the day, if we're automating processes that don't happen frequently, that don't require a lot of effort, we're potentially not really gaining much return on our investment of time in building the runbooks, right? So let's take a couple of scenarios. So let's think about a manual task. Could be anything. Creating an account, a mailbox, restarting a service, whatever you like. This task takes you 20 minutes to carry out on your own. Maybe that's 5 minutes of somebody calling to the help desk and then 15 minutes in the escalation process. Let's say we can automate that runbook in that process in a week. I can build a runbook to restart that service in 40 hours. So let's do the math on that. 20 minutes once a month. That means we've got 4 hours of time in this. If I, you know, invest 40 hours building a runbook, my return on investment is about as good as putting my money under a mattress, right? It's not going to be very high value. So let's take that process that Anders was building earlier, right? So the service stopped. So I have, conservatively speaking, in a data center, one service a day that stops. I think most of you can say you have maybe one service a day that stops somewhere, right? We raise that ticket with support. We, you know, have to wait for tier two to get to this. And tier two always doesn't get to it right away, do they?
No, they're always on lunch.
And they don't always fix it right the first time either, right? So human error.
Yeah, so that's a very important thing. We haven't included it because it's quite difficult to do a simple example around that. But human errors, let's say that every... Is this one on?
Can you hear Anders in the back row? Yeah, so they say they can hear you.
Okay, good. So let's say that you, from every fifth time, they do some human errors that takes like 3 hours to fix. Or let's say that you have also a customer sitting and waiting these 20 minutes in your organization. So then it suddenly takes your organization 40 minutes. Let's add the lunch. Also on that, it takes a couple of hours instead of just 2 minutes with the orchestrator.
Or we're in Spain, so it's siesta, so lunch is like 3 hours, right? So the important point there, that Murphy's Law has to be taken into account. So it's always going to be worse than we think it is, right? So let's say it takes us a week to build this runbook. That runbook that Anders was building, I can promise you it would take you less than a day. You could probably go to Anders' blog and download a sample of that and have it in a couple of hours. So even at a day of effort, we're talking about 121 hours a year. My ROI, my return on investment, looks like 4 months here. So when you're thinking about the processes you want to automate, you need to think about the dollars and cents. Where is this? You know, where do I have processes that I need to automate that are going to pay me back in a meaningful way? And then here's my favorite.
So, this is fantastic.
So Anders and I visit a lot of customers every year. So Anders more.
So this is really not fake. I think we had the same at the best practice session.
Yeah, maybe
so. We took the
so.
Same example, and that's because we actually, everything is from the field, so.
So who in here has not seen the movie The Terminator? Good, okay, so you'll be with us on this.
It didn't really work out in the movie. It will not really work out this time either.
You will have somebody in your environment that will see this technology, that will be very excited about it, and they will have a process that you're going to automate, and they're going to tell you all about it. So you know, Anders, we have this process, and we need you to call System A and pass data to System C, and then restart this on Component D, and then send a mail over here and there. And you know, we think you can probably do this in a year and a half. Now, you know, we were just kind of scratching this out on a napkin. We've never used Orchestrator, but we think this is where we'd like you to start. This is a fantastically bad idea.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, we start small, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. And you will notice also when you start building runbooks, if you think it will take a week, as Pete said, always count Murphy, so just add another week. So if you think 2 weeks, just add another week. If you think 1 hour, add a week. Always add a week. It's like, it doesn't matter what you're going to do, add a week.
Yeah, well, and there are some variables in there. So if I estimate 40 hours, it might only take me 30. If I have a couple of cocktails, I might say it's going to take me 20 hours, but it's going to take me 60. So just bear worst case in mind.
The default or the very common scenario we see now is that we're supporting customers building, for example, self-service around virtual machines. So they have maybe a test environment or they have some dev environments or something. They want the devs or the tests to go in there and order new VMs. Sounds quite easy. Yeah? We have a VMM integration pack. We have VMware integration packs. Then when you're sitting in front of Runbook Designer, it's like, yeah, right. So we have Windows Server 2008, 12, 12R2, and then we have 2003 for that old department. Right, yeah. And then they need .NET Framework that, or that, or SQL that. So suddenly you have like 600 different server alternatives. And then you're going to try to build a runbook around that. And then you have like, oh, right, if it's a Wednesday, we don't deploy servers on Wednesdays. So we need to add that also into the runbook. And if this department orders, and these also, they should be prioritized. It's like, so something you will notice is that if you don't have your standard, and if you don't have your process outside of Orchestrator, it would be very difficult. And you, even if you think you have it, you will always find something. That's why you always add a week.
Yeah, that's a good point. So let's talk about that. So you get that wish list together, and you know, I have every organization I ever visit build this wish list, and then I try to guess what I think we're going to automate in the end. I would say I'm usually wrong. And that's because as we build, as we plan our runbooks, we take that wish list and we identify those processes that happen frequently, that take a lot of manual effort. But we also have to look at what Anders just alluded to, the variance. So how many variables are there in this process? Is it something we can repeat? Can we replace a human with a machine every time? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. And we want to sort that out before we get started. And as you're reviewing those processes, it's really important to make sure that the process is a good process. You want to have the people in the room that are familiar with that process and that we're all in agreement. Because if your process sucks outside Orchestrator, it sucks inside Orchestrator too, only faster. And here's the good news. It's going to suck every time, right? Orchestrator is very, very consistent. So it just makes it bad in fast motion. So just bear that in mind before we, you know, go down the road building these runbooks. But what you want to come out the bottom of this process, this filtering process, are those processes that recur frequently, that are expensive in some way, that can be reliably automated. We can replace the person with the machine. You get kind of a job upgrade in this process now, because you're not the one pushing the buttons anymore.
The hamster?
You are no longer the hamster. That's a good thing. You're very uncomplimentary of hamsters.
So around runbook best practice, there are a couple of things you should try to always include. Rename your activities. When you see a runbook, you should understand what it's doing by just looking at it. So try to always rename your activities. Try to recolor your links so you can easily see what path you want your runbook to go. If it's success, what path will it choose if there is some failure on the during runtime? So always recolor your links. Oh, structure. So as you will see, when you start working with Orchestrator, you will build a lot of runbooks. We have customers that have like 1,000, 1,500 runbooks in production. And it's quite difficult if you don't have a good naming convention, especially if you start integrate with Service Manager, where everything is shown in another way of structure. And especially if you start building runbooks in one environment and then move them over to production environment, then it's quite difficult to update the correct runbook if you don't have a correct naming convention. So naming is very, very important, and structure is very, very important.
Yeah, and it's not even so much exactly what structure, right, but just that we have
a structure
across the team, so we're all on the same page.
Yeah, it's the same with links, link colors. You don't have to use green for success as long as your company is using the same color for success. So if you like blue, it's fine, as long as everyone is using blue. Then you should try to build your runbooks quite small. Build them as small functions, and then just invoke them when you need them. So instead of having like 25 different activities in one runbook, and we will look at this soon in our demo, try to build like one small runbook, maybe like 3-4 activities in a runbook, and then just invoke it when you need that function. And then just trigger another one that is doing some small task and pass back the result. And it will be much easier also to update them if you have built them as small modules. Oh, yeah, so always try to build them dynamic, of course. You saw the data bus in the demo. Don't try to hard code anything in there, because when you're moving runbooks between environments or if you need to update something, it's quite difficult, because then you need to go into each activity and see, oh, need to change here, and then move into the next one, oh, need to change here also. And there's always a risk that you update incorrect somewhere. So don't use any hard-coded values. You can use variables, that's nice. Sometimes there's a challenge when you're moving between environments with variables, because there is a risk that you overwrite the wrong variable. Then it's better to just keep all that in a SQL database, and just from the runbook, query the database and get whatever data you need.
Yeah, all great points. So at the end of the day, you're going to build runbooks that are very small and they're function specific. So I might have a runbook that just logs error messages and another that might go look up the distinguished name of an object in Active Directory. And at the end of the day, as we build these tiny, these small function specific runbooks, it's going to allow me in the future to automate processes much more quickly because I've done the work in a modular and reusable way.
Yeah. And of course, always move from left to right in your runbook. Don't do this like left, right, middle, up, down, left, right, because you can't really fit all the activities in one runbook, so you start over again from the left side. Don't do that. That's not a good idea. And of course, do your planning and then test. Always test and test all different cases. Don't just test success. Test also if something failed. If you want to know more best practice tips and tricks, Pete and I, we had our session at the MMS in Vegas. It's on channel 9, so you just can go there and you can download it and you can watch it a couple of times. Just to pick up everything there.
Yeah, that's a great point. So after you've been orchestrating for a few hours, that's a level 300 session. You'll have some questions. We think that'll probably answer some of those questions around best practices at a more advanced level.
Yeah.
So maybe a good next step.
And if your runbook shows up like this, you have done something wrong, and you need to go back to the design board.
So I just need a bigger monitor, right?
No, that's the thing. It will not solve if you buy a bigger monitor. You still can't really fit much more activities in there.
That's about 12 kinds of ugly.
Yeah.
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 What do you call that exactly?
This is the snake.
That is a snake runbook.
Yeah, and I know that everyone has one.
Most of us anyway, okay. Onward.
This is how it often ends up. So.
Quick checkpoint, and then we're going to get to the good stuff here. So. We've talked now about identifying the best candidates for automation. So before we begin running, we figure out what direction, right? Some best practices around runbook authoring. You've got that link out to an advanced session as you move along the path here with orchestration. So enough talk. Let's look at that data bus in depth.
Yep. So here we have a small runbook reading a file. And the file contains one line. And then we have a send platform event that will write that line to a platform event. And we can see all the platform events down here. So when I run it, I get one send platform event saying one because that's the text in the file. So I read a file, I have one answer, the next activity will run once. Yeah? You query a SQL database and you get one line back, one row back. The next activity will run once.
So yeah? One execution to one execution. Indeed.
Good, Pete. Yeah.
I can count to 11.
In this example, I have now updated my file a little bit. We'll show you. I now have four lines in here. So I use the same read activity. And I have configured the read activity to read all lines, line 1 to end. That means all lines. And this time, you see, this time we get four platform events, one for each line. And if we look under log history, we can see that the first activity ran one time. And the other one ran four times because we had four lines in the text file. And that's how the data bus works. So in this case, if I had more activities here, they will continue to run four times. So it's like four threads. So as soon as activity results more than one result, all the other activities will run the same number of times as the results. So it will start like a new thread for each answer.
So when we have a multi-value data set, activity B executes one time for each piece of data passed to it in that data set.
Yeah. And that's quite important to know. If you, for example, query AD to get all your users and you have 5,000 users, then the next activity will also run 5,000 times. And if that activity is, for example, run a PowerShell script, then you will try to open 5,000 PowerShell consoles on the runbook server at the same time. And that might put the environment into a bad mood.
So let's put this into the context of an example. So I'm reading this file, and for each line, it writes one event. So let's take a very common example. I want to read multiple lines, but I want to log one event, say in the application event log. What now?
Then you can do flatten. So again, I have my read line activity here, but this time on the run behavior tab, I have configured flatten separate with a comma. So I still configure it to read all the lines, but I tell it to flatten the result to one line and publish it with a comma between each result. So if I...
And you notice there he had that flatten by default was going to use a comma. There was a line break there as well. So if you're doing multiple lines and you want to write to an event, that line break is quite good. But you can really put any separator you want there. I remember one guy wrote "Hello World" as a separator. So just be smart about it.
You can do that. And if you look down here now on Send Platform Event, I now get one line back with all the answers with a comma. And then I can use data manipulation to divide it into, as you see here, each answer again on one line. But also, some customers are building these runbooks to like clean up the environment. So get me all computers that are disabled or something and send me an email. And it's always funny before they learn about the flatten. So if they have like 100,000 computers or something, they get 100,000 emails every Monday morning. It's always fun to tell them about flatten, and they're like, oh, you're a hero.
Yeah.
So should we go straight into the next demo?
Yeah, so we've got the fourth rule of the data bus, right? No?
You can configure also a loop on the read activity, and that means that the read activity will execute the number of times you have configured the loop, but if you combine it with flatten, it will still just generate one answer.
So. Yeah, good point. So I can flatten data, I can't flatten execution. Yeah.
So let's look at this demo.
Okay.
Yep.
Demo all you like.
So I have a couple of versions of the same runbook that I want to show you, just to show how a runbook can be and how it should be. So here we have a runbook that will deploy a new web service to Azure. So it doesn't really matter what the runbook is doing. It's more the way that we do it. So we have our 6 activities here. It works just fine. No problem with that. It's just that it's quite difficult to understand what it's doing. So in the next version here, I have updated a bit with link colors and renamed all the activities. So now it's a little bit easier for some of my colleagues to go in here and look at the runbook, and they will a little bit easier understand what the runbook is doing.
But you still only have one branch here, right?
One branch, yes. Still only have one branch. So to fix that, we had now added a bit of error handling here. So if anything goes wrong on these 4 activities, I go on this link, warning of failed, and generate an alert in Operation Manager. That's quite good. So if something goes wrong, we get an alert in Operation Manager.
So I think where you're going with this is that, you know, maybe our first version is going to be a version that just evaluates that we can actually complete the task that we want, right?
Yeah. So often, that's how we build runbooks. You drag and drop a couple of activities, you manage to get it to work, and it's, oh, this is fantastic.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. But then the thing is that you need to continue to work with your runbook, and that's what we're trying to show here. So don't just do the version 1, continue until you have a really good working runbook, and you will soon realize that why that first version is not really working. So as Pete said, we have added error handling, or if something goes wrong, we generate an alert in Operation Manager. But there are some tricky activities. So let's look at this one, where I have configured a run program activity to copy a file. It simply copies a file between 2 folders. We actually have a copy activity also, but this is a good demo, so that's why I do it with a command prompt. So if we look at it, it seems like it worked. It's green. Green is good. But if we go into a little bit more deep and look at the pure output here, oh. Go.
I don't know what you showed there, but it didn't look good, so I'm guessing it's not going to be as successful as it looks.
You see here, the system cannot find this file specified. So it managed to open a command prompt on the target machine. Orchestrator is happy reporting back green. But it didn't manage to run the command. Doesn't bother about that. Doesn't bother about that the file don't exist. It managed to open a command prompt. That's all. So it reported back green. So when you're building your runbooks, you need to handle this also. So in this version here, I have added a get internet application status. So after I have deployed my web service, I actually try to access it to make sure that it's actually deployed. I can actually use it.
Yeah, great point. Like that service restart scenario we were talking about earlier. You know, before when we get the alert that the service is down, it's a great idea to go check and make sure the service is actually down and it's not already corrected. And then we restart, and then we make sure that our restart was successful. So very easy to build that advanced air handling into the UI with Orchestrator here that might be a little more challenging for us in scripts, yeah?
Yeah. And now let's say that we have created this, but some activity in the end there will fail. Then we have a container in Azure that's like orphan. We will never really use that container. So that's also something we need to handle in here if something goes wrong. So I have, in this version, I have added even more activities. So if something goes wrong, the runbook will clean up whatever step it has already done. Just to don't leave any like garbage somewhere in Azure. Instead, it cleans up everything it has done so far, and then it sends an email saying, like, I couldn't do this, and it generates an alert. So the runbook is now handling errors, and it's actually cleaning up after itself. You don't have to go in and do that manually.
Yeah, that's a great point. So as we say in Texas, your mother doesn't work here. Your runbook should clean up after themselves.
We actually say that in Sweden, too.
Do you?
Not the last part about the runbook, but the first part.
Uh-huh, yeah? Okay.
So as you can see now, start to get a little bit of a mess here in the runbook designer. There's a lot of activities in here now. And it's time to divide your runbook into smaller pieces. And in this version, I have a what we call a master runbook, but it's really not a master in any way more than it's a normal runbook. But it's invoking other runbooks. So the in activity you see here is invoking other runbooks. So instead of having everything in one large runbook, we're now just invoking these other runbooks. So I have divided what I had before into small runbooks with like four activities in each. And now I can use them wherever I need to have a cloud service. I can just invoke this runbook. So I don't really have to use this only for my web service. Maybe I want some other cloud service, and then I can reuse this runbook. So I have divided my runbook into smaller pieces, and then I have created this master or parent runbook that just invokes the different smaller modules.
So this is fantastic. As Anders has evolved his runbook process, you notice the runbooks aren't getting larger. They're getting smaller, right? They're modular. They're function-specific. They're reusable. So we evolve by making it a simpler set of runbooks that will be easier for us to troubleshoot and reuse.
Yeah.
They'll be more universal that way, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the last thing to add here is logging. Orchestrator don't have any logging. We have the data on the data bus, but as soon as the runbook is done, we drop the data bus. So as soon as the runbook is done, we don't have any clue what was going on in that runbook.
Yeah, that process folds up and the data's gone.
Exactly. So what you want to do is to create some SQL database somewhere that could be your central log for Orchestrator. And then you create a runbook like this one that is writing to that log. And this runbook has a couple of input parameters, so you can invoke it from any other runbook, as you can see here. I just invoke the runbook and I pass some data down to that runbook. Like,
so show us that initialize data activity too. So there Anders is passing input into a runbook, yeah?
Yeah, so I'm writing data. So when I invoke my log, write to log runbook, I just invoke this runbook, and this runbook requires three input parameters. So I just pass them down to this runbook, it writes it to the SQL database. And it's quite nice because if I want to update the way I log, I just update one runbook. All the other runbooks will invoke that one. And you get everything in one central SQL server, and it's quite easy to query that SQL, and you can monitor with Ops Manager, and you can do whatever you want.
And so that initialize data activity is really important. That's how we pass input into runbooks. And a runbook that begins with initialized data, it's what we call an ad hoc runbook. It's sitting there waiting to be called, right?
Yeah.
Whereas the monitoring type runbook is running all the time. Yeah. So these ad hoc runbooks are quite nice.
Yeah, it doesn't take a seat. We talked about 50 or maybe you change it to 200 running runbooks on a runbook server. All these runbooks, it's not taking a seat. They're just waiting for someone to call to invoke them. Just one more thing I want to show you here that you also need to think about. So in this demo, it's a demo friendly.
So there's two more things. We're going to let Anders give you his one thing, and then I'm going to give you another thing.
Oh, so you also have a thing.
Please proceed. I do have a thing. Thank you.
So this runbook, it starts, it writes the runbook server name to an event, it waits a half minute, and writes the runbook server name again. Quite simple. Nice thing is that if we now start it, and then on activity after activity number one, I go in and disable the runbook service on my primary runbook server, that runbook will jump to my secondary runbook server. Remember Pete talked about that during the architecture slide. Yeah, that's all fine, really nice. But as you can see down here, it started event number one on my primary runbook server. Event number two, it's all fine. I disabled the service, jumped over to my secondary runbook server, but can you see what happened? It's back on event number one. So the runbook goes over to the secondary runbook server, fine, but it restarts on the first activity.
So you made a good point about failover, and this is not the second thing, by the way, but what if I want to balance my runbooks out across all of my runbook servers, or I want to make them run in specific places?
You can do that when you use the invoke runbook activity. Yep. So when you invoke a runbook, you can control whatever you want it to start. So that's a way to balance it and also to control if you have these different customer networks or secured networks. But the thing with this is that if you think about the scenario where you just created a user account, a mailbox account, and then something happens, so the runbook is interrupted, goes back to the secondary runbook server and restarts, then you will create a new user account for the same request, a new mailbox for the same account. And then you will have like an orphan account somewhere in your AD. So that's quite important also to think about when you're designing your runbooks, how to handle this. And of course, we have a solution for that.
Yeah.
So what you could do is that you can integrate with Service Manager here. If you integrate with Service Manager, you will get all that for free because Service Manager has a work item, for example, a service request. So you can trigger your runbooks based on a service request or an incident or a change request and so on. And then Service Manager will keep track on which step, which runbook you are on for the request. So it will also, your runbooks can report back to Service Manager and read from Service Manager. So you can design your small runbooks as independent runbooks. And they will get data from Service Manager, and they will send all the data back to Service Manager. So that's our simple way to get really good error handling and really nice runbooks, because they don't depend on each other. Everything is stored in Service Manager. And an important thing there is that even if you have decided not to go with Service Manager for incident management and change management, you can still use it as a nice portal to Orchestrator. Because when you want to do input in your orchestrator runbooks, you want to have data validation. You don't want to start your runbook if you don't have the correct data, correct format, and all that. You get all that with Service Manager. Service Manager has the self-service portal where you can publish your different offers. And then in there, you will get all the data validation and everything. And once all that is done, you have approval step and so on, Service Manager will kick off Orchestrator that will execute, send back the result. So even if you're not going to use Service Manager for incident, change, and so on, just use this as a portal and a like a nice interface for Orchestrator.
Yeah, that's a great point. So who out here has a service desk solution that's not Service Manager, just by a show of hands? Many of you. And that's a great point, is that with Orchestrator, we can leverage Service Manager as this self-service portal, as this rich data source, and then with Orchestrator, there are integration packs for many enterprise management platforms, so we can drive data back in to our existing service desk solutions, right? HP,
yeah.
BMC,
so you use Orchestrator as a connector.
Yeah, Orchestrator is a connector. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
So, hopefully, We've given you some ammunition, some information, so you can go back to your organization and get started. You know, Orchestrator is very easy to implement. You know, this is not a Windows 7 migration. We don't need a year of planning. You should be able to go back and get started in the next few days.
Start small. Don't start with Skynet. Start very small. And that's also often the process where you're going to gain a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Start with a manageable scenario or scenarios that you orchestrate in a few hours' time rather than a few weeks or months. And really focus on integration across systems here. So you see it's really easy with Orchestrator to communicate with multiple systems so we can automate processes across your different technology stacks and your support teams. And go ahead. You're going to say something.
I can just say about the IT expert and
absolutely. Yeah. So and you know, Orchestrator is going to make a lot of your processes very efficient, right? So we think about, you know, eliminating human error and building a nice self-service experience where we can get, you know, collect the information from our users, validate the data before we let Orchestrator handle the execution. But focus on the scenarios that are going to pay you back for your time. You know, a runbook that you build that nobody uses isn't a good runbook, right? And so I think we're to the end of our session here. We're to the
yes.
end of our time.
So if you have any questions, please stop by the Ask the Experts, the expo hall. I think we have booked you to the entire afternoon today. So yes, we will be there. Just drop by and ask anything you want. We have Orchestrator there and Service Manager so we can click and test and show. And also, absolutely, please fill in the eval and always be honest but generous.
Honest but generous. Hey, thanks for your time, folks.
Thank you.